How do you do? Would you mind if we asked you to get up and move and then keep on moving? Suppose that throughout your life you were engaged in an endless search, no rest for the sole of your foot, no solace for your weary heart, no peace for your searching mind. Well, we're about to meet a man for whom such was the case, a prisoner of the planet. A prisoner, that is, until his heart and mind and life were unshackled. From Chicago, the Pacific Garden Mission brings you Unshackled, the dramatic series that tells true stories of real people. Since 1877, the Pacific Garden Mission has been providing shelter from the weather, lodging for the night, meals, clean and serviceable clothing, and medical and dental care to homeless men, women, and children. And all are given without charge. Friendly counselors are also prepared to address inner problems, knowing that bread alone will not satisfy. Now Pacific Garden Mission reaches around the world through Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think. The man whose story we will tell makes his living as a performer. He's done commercials, motion pictures, television, and radio, including Unshackled. And yet, with all this seeming success, he found no rest for his searching soul. Like an incomplete puzzle, his life seemed to be missing a piece. You'll learn what satisfied his searching heart as we bring you the true story of Russ Reed, now on program number 2276 in the series Unshackled.
Actually, my given name was Russell Epstein. I chose to go by Russ Reed when I entered acting. I was born into a Jewish family, but my mother was widowed while I was still quite young. At age 6, Mother and I lived with my grandparents in what was probably the most thoroughly Jewish section of Chicago, the neighborhood known as Albany Park. On our entire block, there was just one family of Goyim, Gentiles. They were the Morozaks, and it was because of them that I first became aware of one of the differences between Jews and Goyim, because of their Christmas tree and our Hanukkah candles. Every home on the block had them. Every home except one. I remember I'd been playing with some friends down the street. The winter twilight deepened and the street lights came on. First at half power. That was just the warning signal. But a few minutes later, they were turned on bright. To me, as to most city-bred small boys of that time, bright lights meant it was time to go home to supper.
Hey, Rusty, the bright lights just went on.
Okay, I see him. Wait till I stick this broomstick under his arm.
Ah, come on. We'll catch it if we're late.
A snowman's got to have a cane, doesn't he? Anyway, Velvo, it's Hanukkah. We're supposed to have a good time.
Yeah, look at all the candles. Boy, I bet you there's 8 of them in every window on the block.
Well, sure, everybody puts candles in their windows for Hanukkah.
Everyone but the Morozaks, maybe.
Well, why not the Morozaks?
Mama says they're Goyim.
So? I still bet you they got candles in their windows.
Bet you they don't.
We'll take a look in their window when we go home.
And if they don't have candles, you owe me $1,000,000.
$1,000,000?
Yeah.
And if there is candles, then you owe me $1,000,000,000,000,000. All right, Smarty. I thought you said Morozaks wouldn't have any candles. Take a look. Take a look.
Yeah. They got lights, but those aren't candles.
They're lights, aren't they?
Yeah, but those are electric lights.
And different colors, too. Boy, that's funny.
And they don't even have them on a menorah.
Well, what's that they're on? A tree?
Yeah, it looks like a pine tree. Right in the living room window.
That sure is a funny way to celebrate Hanukkah.
Do you suppose that's how all the Goyim celebrate Hanukkah?
I don't know. I'm going to ask my gram. He knows everything. Hey, Gramp! Hey, Gramp, you home?
Rusty, how many times are we telling you don't slam the door? Your gram doesn't like it.
I'm sorry, I forgot again, Gramp.
Well, now, what's all the excitement about?
Listen, I gotta ask you something.
So? Ask it.
How do the Goyim celebrate Hanukkah?
How do the... Rusty.
I mean it, Gramp. I mean, there's candles in every window on the block but the Morozaks. Everybody's got a menorah but them.
So?
Well, they've got a bunch of colored lights on instead. All kinds of colors.
Oh.
And they're on a tree. A real pine tree.
Yes, I see.
Boy, are they ever pretty, Grump. I mean, could we do that?
Rusty, you'll be the death of me yet. No, that's a Christmas tree. See, the Goyim don't celebrate Hanukkah. They celebrate Christmas.
Christmas? What's that?
Well, it's the time of year they celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the one they call the Messiah.
Is he? Is Jesus the Messiah?
We don't think so.
Gramps said, "We don't think so." And that sat in my heart for the next 25 years. We don't think so. In time, I began to wonder how often we really do let other people do our thinking for us, especially another person's perception of that man called Jesus. I went through school, learned the trade of acting, served in the Army in World War II, and then came back to Chicago to make my living in radio and motion pictures. I did some television, too, as a weatherman. One day, I stopped in at one of the studios to see a certain director who hired me from time to time. He was sitting in the control booth. Out in the studio, on the other side of the glass, was a very, very attractive blonde.
She was just about to give me an audition when you walked in, Russ. Want to listen?
Yeah, sure. Why not? Boy, pretty soft. Wish I was a director. Nothing to do but sit and leer at pretty girls through plate glass windows.
No comment. Are you ready, Miss Marlowe? You can start reading any time.
Thank you. I suppose you think this is easy, coming back after all these years. Well, it's an annoyance, you say. That's very funny. Annoyance. To me, it's a tragedy, a terrible, painful thing. It's so painful that if I were the only person involved,
I'd never have to come back. You going to hire the girl?
I might.
Well, you can console yourself with this.
Oh, not bad. Not bad.
The next
4 days
time
of picture work last week.
It'll be for good.
More coming up.
Oh, I'm going to begin living, man. Jason. And you can be free to go around in your ever-diminishing circles and magnificent solitude.
Hey, you know that girl's just about through auditioning.
Yeah? Well, we've been gabbing so much I haven't heard 10 words.
Uh-oh. She knows it, too. Looks could kill. You and I'd be sprawled out on the floor.
Thank you, Miss Marlowe.
Thank you.
Would you mind coming in here for a minute?
Not at all.
Now you can meet her.
Oh, that's very nice. With her blaming me because you weren't listening.
Shh, great. Here she comes. That was very nice, Miss Marlowe.
Was it?
Miss Marlowe, this is Russ Reed. He's an actor.
Glad to know you, Miss Marlowe.
How do you do?
I liked your audition very much.
Oh, did you hear it? I thought perhaps...
That we were talking too much in here? I'm sorry, but we heard enough, so the boss man here says he's going to use you.
Oh, I'm glad.
I was wondering about lunch, maybe.
Why, I don't really
Oh, you might as well say yes. He ought to pay for disturbing your audition.
Well, maybe he should. All right, lunch.
Eventually, I married Maggie Marlowe, whose real name was Connolly. As I said, I was born Russell Epstein. Here we were, a Jewish boy named Epstein, marrying an Irish lassie named Maggie Connolly. But we didn't worry about religious differences. Maggie went to church occasionally. I stayed home. That was that. When Mom died, I began wondering for the first time about the answers to a lot of questions I'd never thought much about before. There had to be more to existence than this. A person as lovely as my mother couldn't have been created just to sell high-priced dresses and then flicker away. Was I born only to make faces in front of a camera and pour emotional words into a microphone? I began to feel more and more restless and incomplete. I couldn't understand it. I had a lovely wife, good career, no debts, yet still, I was empty, hungry, restless. There had to be something more. And then came the Christmas season of 1954.
We'll find out what happened that Christmas in just a moment. And now here's Dave Saulnier, superintendent of Pacific Garden Mission. Dave, if I had a friend who wanted to hear Unshackled, how would I find out when it's broadcast?
The easiest way is to request a station log. This little booklet contains a printed listing of all the stations airing Unshackled. It includes the day of the week and the time of the day the program can be heard. It also tells where the station can be found on the radio dial.
And how extensive is this listing?
Over 900 outlets broadcast Unshackled, and the station log lists them all.
Are these all U.S. stations?
No, Unshackled is heard on every continent. The station log lists the U.S. stations by state and the other stations by country. It lists AM, FM, and shortwave stations, and even contains a listing of the stations that air the 15-minute Arabic version.
It sounds like the station log would be helpful for people who travel as well as people who want to tell friends about Unshackled.
Yes, whether they travel overseas or across North America. This listing will tell them when and where they can hear the program.
And how can people get a copy of this listing?
All they have to do is write and ask for the station log.
For your copy of the Unshackled station log, just write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The log is yours free. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605.
Christmas of 1954. I just wasn't myself. Sometimes I call it the terrible Christmas.
Russ, why don't you take Finnegan for a walk? That dog's almost as restless as you are.
Well, they say dogs reflect the personality of their masters, right?
What really is the matter?
Oh, I was just thinking about this thing called Christmas.
Oh, I'm glad you came to church for our carol sing the other night. You even knew the songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Until I choked on the words about Jesus.
Any particular reason?
No, not really, other than the fact that we Jews don't think he's our Messiah. I don't know. I guess I'm just restless inside.
Well, any idea why?
Maybe it's a feeling that somehow God and I haven't really made connections, and that I won't be right until we do.
What makes you say that?
I guess I've been looking for answers for some time. You know, I went to the Goodfellow Bureau the other day, got the name of an orphan, rushed into the department store, bought the child not one, but three gifts.
Well, that must have made you feel better.
Oh, yeah, it did. Civilized human concern. That's the answer. I felt great. Till I walked out of the store.
Well, then what happened?
I saw two Salvation Army fellows blasting out carols on trumpets. As I saw the expressions of peace and joy on their frozen faces, I knew I was wrong. Now, I guess I'm just going to have to keep looking for answers, Maggie.
You know, it's interesting what you said about not really making connections with God and needing answers. Mm-hmm. It's something like the feeling I had once as a child during revival meeting. I wanted to go to the altar, but I wasn't allowed to. And I've wondered ever since then if I missed something.
Oh, I don't see that. Oh, you're a Christian, aren't you?
I'm not sure, Russ. I don't know. Sometimes I'm not sure.
Oh, come on. Now we're both starting to sound morbid. Look, let's pack up and make that tour of Britain we've been talking about.
Oh, are you serious?
Sure I am. London in April. Down to Kew in lilac time. Scotland in May. Let's go this spring. Ah, Maggie, it's been a great trip so far. Everything exactly according to schedule. Huh? Say, what's been so interesting in those papers? You've been studying them ever since we arrived in Edinburgh.
Russ, you know, you might think this is a bit off the wall or something, but could we go to Glasgow?
Glasgow? Well, yeah, sure, but why go there?
Billy Graham's speaking there, and I'd really like to hear him.
Seems funny, coming all the way to Scotland to hear someone you could hear almost any time back home.
I know it, but I just feel as though I should go.
Okay, Maggie, fine. We're off to hear the wizard. Glasgow was in a regular ferment over Graham. I'd never seen anything like it. All my show business instincts told me this must be the work of a master showman. When we got to the auditorium, the place was packed. For what, I wondered? Was this thing real, or just a superlative piece of showmanship? Well, Graham himself answered that for me. What struck me was his lack of showmanship. The actors have a very sensitive ear for falseness and dramatic tricks. Now, this was a man so convinced of the reality of what he had to say that his conviction compensated for his inability to be a showman.
Russ.
Maggie, look at all those people streaming down the aisles.
Russ, I'm going. I just have to. This time, I'm not going to miss it.
You, Maggie?
I've got to. And then I'll know I belong to Jesus.
Maggie went, and I was alone. More alone than I've ever been in my life. I wondered if I'd lost my wife. And I wondered, too, if this could possibly be for me. Finally, Maggie came back from the inquiry room, more radiant than I'd ever seen her. In the weeks that followed, I knew she'd found eternal peace. And what happened next was pure accident. I should say pure plan, but not Maggie's plan.
Russ, how much Hebrew do you know?
Real Hebrew? Only a few words. Why?
Well, I was wondering what peniel means.
Peniel. Spell it.
P-E-N-I-E-L.
P-E-L. All right, let's see. I think it should mean face of God. Where'd you get it?
Well, you know how my church assigns representatives to the various neighborhood houses in the city?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm supposed to go to a place called Peniel House. There's supposed to be a Hebrew Christian church there.
Wait. A what?
A Hebrew Christian church.
That's a great sounding place. Where's this Peniel House?
In Albany Park.
Albany Park? That's where I grew up.
I know.
Hebrew Christian Church, huh? You know, I'm just curious enough to go there. How about it?
Fine. I'm all for it.
When I walked into that place, I was struck by the comfortable quiet of the people, the quiet of Jews worshiping their Messiah. Later, when I met the minister, Reverend Bronstein, I asked him about it.
Ah, you noticed it then. You know, Mr. Reed, some of these people have given up a great deal to belong to Christ. This is the quiet of those whose minds are settled on the things of eternity.
I hadn't thought of it that way.
Would you like to study the scriptures with me and find out why?
Me?
Why not?
All right. I've got nothing to lose.
Now read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 65.
All right, verse 65. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. Has that always been in the scriptures?
Ever since Moses wrote it. Does it say something to you?
Oh, it says what I've been feeling for a long time.
It's what all our people have felt for a very long time.
Hey, look at this. Just a couple of verses later. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning.
You've said something like that yourself, perhaps?
Oh, 1,000 times. So have most of my friends, I suspect. And maybe that's why so many of them have analysts.
Perhaps. But I'm afraid the hunger that comes from being separated from God will defy analysis.
Oh, it's separation from God.
The Messiah came to seek and to save those who were lost, and our people missed him. Now we're like someone who's looking for a loved one's face in a world of strangers. It's like a great nightmare.
It's a nightmare I've lived, sir.
So have I. But it ended for me when I found my Messiah.
The Messiah?
Yeshua HaMashiach.
Is Jesus really the Messiah? The Christ?
Rather than my telling you what I think, ask him to show you.
There it stood. Gramp once told me what to think. Now I was being forced to make the decision for myself. It was up to me. I thought it over for weeks. I tried to recall the times I'd been an actor on Unshackled, sometimes playing the part of the convert. It seemed to me that always on the program, a conversion took place in the presence of another person. But I thought, now if this is real, I don't need anyone else. Just the Christ and me. One day, Maggie went to West Virginia for a visit, and I was all alone. My mind must have been working on the problem, even while I slept, because I woke up thinking about it. For a long time, I lay wondering. Then I recalled what Reverend Bronstein had said.
Ask him to show you.
That was it. Ask him. Then and there, I did ask him. And no bells rang, no lights flashed, but quietly and gradually, I began to feel the peace of a person whose quest had reached its goal. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." I found that peace in him, Jesus, the Messiah. Several years later, following a heart attack, I found a unique way to start others thinking about their relationship with the Messiah. It started with my reading a book on cardiac rehabilitation. In it, I saw a photograph, and I discussed it with my cardiologist.
Blood pressure's just fine. Sure, I'm familiar with the book. What part in particular?
Well, Doc, here, look at this picture. Mm-hmm. Now, here's a fellow, cardiac victim, being hugged by his wife after he completed the Boston Marathon. And I want to run a marathon. Probably the Chicago Marathon.
Before you go any further, let me give you a few numbers. Okay. The number of cardiac patients who have run a marathon is still relatively few. It's still a new concept. You're 58 years old, and a marathon is 26 1/4 miles.
So?
Well, if you're serious, I'll give you the training schedule I use when I get ready for a marathon. Stick to it and take the precautions I prescribe.
Then I can run?
If your stress tests turn out okay, I'll go with you. Ten-mile mark coming up.
You know, Doc, this is the first time I've ever had enough time to talk to a doctor.
Maybe I should charge you for a house call. Say, Russ, you've been gaining on this girl for some time. Check out her shirt. It says John 3:16.
Like your shirt, miss. Any opportunities to share what John 3:16 means?
All the time.
After the race, as Maggie and I were sitting in our apartment talking, the marathon experience provided an idea.
Something wrong, Russ?
Maggie, how much time do I spend jogging each week?
Oh, something like 6 to 10 hours. Why?
Well, I run along Lake Michigan through Lincoln Park, and if I see someone in apparent trouble, I always stop, ask if I can help. That sometimes leads to an easy witnessing opportunity. I'd like to find a way to increase those opportunities.
Well, the doctor said to eliminate tense situations.
Yeah, but that's why I need a low-stress way to witness, a way where people come up to me.
Yeah. Oh, remember John 3:16?
Oh, sure. For God so loved the world.
Oh, not the verse. That girl in the marathon. Maybe your answer's on that shirt.
That's right. The shirt caused people to ask her questions.
Yeah, maybe you should wear something that attracts the attention of the other runners. You've been on the board of Jews for Jesus for several years now. Maybe they'd have a shirt that would work.
Heading out for my run, Maggie.
Boy, that shirt will sure attract attention. A black T-shirt with huge white block letters, Jews for Jesus. Hmm? Not just on the front, but the back as well.
Well, I didn't realize how blatant the message came across. I'm talking about making a statement, huh?
You'll make quite a target jogging along the lake.
Nah, at least I'll be a moving target. Hey, Russ! Oh, how are you? Hey, Sandy, how are you?
Hey, that's some T-shirt.
Oh.
Wow. Even I can see that a mile away. Jews for Jesus. That's your outfit?
Well, in a way, I'm on their board. You seen them?
Sure. And I've wondered, what do you stand for? What made you become a follower?
Oh, wanted to get closer to God. I had this desire. At the end of Yom Kippur, I wanted to know. Just know that my sins were forgiven. See, we believe Messiah, Yeshua, is our Messiah. We believe sin keeps individual men and women from God.
Yeshua died for our sins. Yours, Sandy's, and mine. And he rose again from the dead to prove he was God. Faith in his sacrifice for sins satisfies God. The only way to satisfy God now. We've seen for ourselves that Yeshua is Messiah.
Hey, Russ. Yeah. This is where we have to turn off.
Oh, well, look, if you ever want to talk more, just let me know.
Hey, thanks for the lesson, Russ. We'll talk more. See ya.
Yeah.
At age 71, I still jog and still answer people's questions. Some listen, some don't. You know, I've discovered that many people form their ideas about who Jesus is based upon what other people think or have told them to think. I challenge these people, and I challenge you to examine the evidence and decide for yourself. Please, don't base an eternal decision on someone else's choice.
Friend, the living Messiah, Jesus Christ, provided an eternal sacrifice for Russ's sin, gave him eternal life and peace with God. This very same Jesus wants to do the same thing for you today, whether you're Jewish or not. To counsel with someone who is concerned about you, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. The telephone number in Chicago, area 312, is 922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, Post Office Box 1467, Manila. Please take a moment to write and tell as you listen. Ask others to listen too. And let the manager of this station know that you appreciate Unshackled. Heard in the true story of Russ Reed were Roger Mueller, Mercedes DeMonk, Mary Skoll, Jack Bivens, Dan Frick, and Russ Reed. The story, originally told to Jack O'Dell, was prepared for this broadcast by Timothy R. Wise. I'm Bob O'Donnell. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write if possible. Your letter is important. Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. If you need spiritual help and counsel, just call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago at 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting to talk with you right now. That number again is area 312-922-1462.